Well, first, let's pray on that point.
How many of you here come from families that there are occultic forces against you? And you are aware of it. I want you to come to the front. It's not your fault, the family you come from. But it's your fault not to take the assistance and the help of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, there may be occultic powers, wicked forces in your family that say, no, you won't break free. We want to tie you down. We want to restrict or restrain you in life. And as a young man, you are in the period of the most rapid growth in your life. And nothing should be able to contain you at this level. Those of you in the congregation, I want you to stretch your right hand. Now just lift it up like this and begin to pray in the Spirit. Those of you in front, I want to begin to pray too. Now this is... Now you may be seated. I want you to turn your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 2. I want to speak to you a prophetic message that is directed towards your future. When you look at a young man, you are looking at somebody that is at a junction. The life of a young man is such a delicate thing that you need revelation to understand. A young man is about the most endangered human species. The reason is very simple. If you go to the forest, you will notice that when you see a plant, a tiny seed, you don't know what it's going to become. So it is possible for you to overlook it and ignore it. But when you see a young plant, you can guess what is likely to become. If it is likely to become something that you don't want, you can decide to cut it down. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you are a young man, you are in that period of your life that anybody can guess where you are about to go. The enemy and friends. And that does not mean you are going to get there. It means you have to be prepared to get there. And that's the way I want to talk to you today. You understand? What kind of a young man are you? That's what I want to speak to you today. The Bible talks of different kinds of young men. But what kind and what type are you? Just the prayer that we prayed, and that some of you that you have things in your family should come forward. You know, a young man feels, in the period that a young man is, that the period that he wants to show off. And it is the period that he should be learning. Do you understand? One thing you notice about old men is that there are some things that don't matter to an old man anymore. I don't know if you understand that. When your body still has good shape, you are concerned about how your clothes is fitting on your body. Do you get what I'm saying? But when you cross to the region of the old men and your body shape is not, you just thank God that you can still wear clothes. Amen? You are not bothered about all those things. So some things can be affecting young men that don't affect other people. Amen. And so on that note, I'm going to talk to you and trust that God is going to help you. Amen. That by the time you finish today, you are going to be on your way to something. something serious. You notice I prayed a prayer for those that came forward, that God is going to deposit, beginning from today, an anointing that will be ever increasing anointing on their lives. You need that anointing to keep going forward. Amen. Something must be in you that is greater than whatever is confronting you or what you are going to confront later in life. Amen. Now look at Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 4. And said unto him, or you can read it from verse 3, and behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man. You know what that tells me? It tells me that there is a supernatural attention on young men. There's a supernatural focus on young men. It can be demonic, it can be divine. I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. Oh, praise God. Now look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. And then read from verse 54, Acts chapter 7. When they had these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Now at this time, Saul was doing something. He was popular enough to be the leader at the stoning of Stephen. I always believe when we get to heaven, I will confirm. But I always believe that the anointing and the mantle of Stephen's destiny landed on Saul. Okay? But the interesting thing is that it was at his feet they were casting their garment. At this point in his life. But when you look at the close of Paul's life, you see him fulfill a great destiny. So it doesn't matter what you are presently doing, you can fulfill what God has for you. You understand? And interesting that God cited him at this time. This man that is the leader of the gang that is killing Philip and Stephen, he can do something for me. And so I'm not just going to talk to you today. I want to give you a plan to salvage your destiny and to manage your future. Somebody said something that I wanted to write down. And I also added something to it. He said in heaven there are no problems. There are only plans. Write it down. In heaven, there are no problems. There are only plans. And I added something. In hell, there are no plans. There are only problems. The devil does not need to trouble you. All he needs to do for you is to take a plan away from you. Have you ever noticed that people that have problems are people that have no plans? Huh? Planless living. Just live anyhow. You have enough problem that you can't manage. God doesn't worry about problems. He has plans. He said in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of welfare to give you a future. Plans that take care of your future. Plans that can safeguard your tomorrow. Do you understand? Paul was not the only young man that Jesus came to. Judas was also one. Judas was not an old man. Just as Paul received this invitation to destiny at a young age, Judas did. Judas did not make it. Paul made it. Do you understand that? And I want you to see yourself as the young man that God is speaking to. That angel say, run and speak to this young man this morning. What kind of a young man will you turn out to be? What kind of a young man are you presently? There are all kinds of young men. Let me show you some of them. Amen? Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Verse 1. My son, now circle that. This is not talking to ladies. This is talking to sons now. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. You know, one of the things that you must ask yourself is, what, whose words must I be keeping? Whose commandments must I lay up with myself? If you have listened to my teaching, of course, you know I told you that there are two kinds of people you meet. Those people that put clothes on your back, those people that put values in your heart. When mommy was talking the other time, she talked to you about her attempts to get me to do a master's. There's nothing wrong in a master's. Some of you must not only do a master's, you must do a PhD in order to fulfill God's purpose for you. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? But there are some of us, like myself, that God had told me what he wanted me to do. Now, the reason why she was saying that is because her father had told her that if I'm going to consider you educated at all, you must have a minimum of masters. So that's a particular kind of value system in her, which is a very good value system. There's nothing wrong in that. Are you following what I'm saying? Some people have been told that don't marry a man that doesn't have money. That's another kind of value. So no matter whether the man is a good man or whatever, the woman just wants, do you have money? If he doesn't have money, she doesn't consider him. Can you understand that? And this is like what this place is saying. My son, keep my words. If you were to ask yourself, do you have words that you are keeping? Do you have some words that have been spoken to you that you are keeping? As young as my son Joshua is, there are certain words that are spoken to him that is keeping. No matter where he gets to. No matter what they are discussing now, who and what they are saying. Right from when he was a child, I put those words in his heart. Now, you know, many of us grew up, I didn't have my father to do that for me. You understand? But when I understood that this is my responsibility as a father, I had to do it for my children. I had to get it from God for myself as an adult. Okay, but now I want to start my children with an advantage that I didn't have. And many of you may not have that advantage. And that's why it's important that you understand these kind of issues. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Okay, let's read on. It says, and my commandments. Verse 2, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thy eyes. I want you to underline that my words, my commandment, my law. As a young man, is there a law that is, it might be an invincible law, but is ruling your life? You know, Paul said something. He said, I have become all things to all men. To those that are outside of the law, I behave as if I am not subject to the law, but I'm subject to the law while I'm trying to reach them. He said, to the Jews, I became like a Jew so I can win them. To the unbelievers, I became like an unbeliever to win them. He didn't practice their sin. He put himself under the law of Christ every time just to fulfill his purpose on the earth. Can you understand what I'm saying? Now, there are some laws that your earthly fathers gave you, a very fantastic laws. They help you. Do you understand? Some of us may not have those things. You know, I've always try to get people to understand the purpose of church. Church is not just a building on the roadside. Church actually is the last rehabilitation center that God has for a man. If you miss the training program of the church, you will learn every lesson under wicked forces, and it will train you to evil. What a man does not learn under righteous authority, he will learn it under wicked authority. But he won't be trained by it. Understand? When we were in secondary school, they told us not to walk on lawns. Am I correct? You know how many of those laws you kept? They told us to serve siesta. Am I correct? When you, if you're in boarding house, before you go out, you take exeat. How many of you had those things? But some of you can carry jungle. You know what I'm talking about. What is the purpose of all those things? It is to cultivate a nature and a spirit in man. That when you get outside in life, those things will be affecting you. But how well you responded to those things will determine what you can do in life. Now, when you're at home, your parents set some laws for you, school set some laws, working environment set some laws. If a person missed out on all those things, God has a final place to help him, and that's church. In fact, what we do in church, actually, 70% of what we do in church should have been done in the home. That's why the work of church is very difficult. Can you get what I'm saying? Church is not a place to keep people happy. Do you understand what I'm saying? I pastor a man that is a big man. He's married for close to 15 years. All right? And he's sleeping around. Can you understand what I'm saying? The wife is not happy. The children are not happy. He thinks it's okay. I say, that's not okay. All right? When he first came to church, he brought a large sum of money. I want to sow a seed. I said, hold it. Who are you? That's what you have done in all the churches you went to. So that the pastor's eyes will be blinded. I'm not interested in your money. I want to pastor you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So to tell an adult, a man that has his own business and everything, to be telling his wife that he's going out, this time he's returning. He's doing something that should have been done by as a child. When you are going out at home, your parents ask, where are you going? You don't tell them, what's your business? But when there was nobody to tell you that, you went out when you like, you came back when you come in, when you like. When you married to, that's how you will live. And when you come to church, you want to leave service anytime you like. I'm not just saying, pastor say, well, excuse me, you can't leave service anytime. And then somebody that wants to leave service anytime he likes wants me to make him a leader. I say, you are gifted, but you are not. You don't have character. You don't build anything that is tangible on gift. You build things on character. It is character that you can bank on, not gift, not talent. There's a difference between personality and character. Most people that are suffering today, they married personality. Your personality is, you know, maybe you are an introvert, an extrovert, you are phlegmatic, you are choleric. That's personality traits. You can't build anything tangible on that. What is your character? Do you understand what I'm saying? Can we depend on you? In your place of work, no matter the pressure that you are going through, that for the past 1 week you have not eaten, can they trust you with 50,000 naira that they don't even know is there? And that nothing, no matter the hunger inside your stomach, you will not steal that money. You will not even borrow out of it. Some years ago at one of our conventions, people were divided into different groups. Some women were cooking for the guest speakers and the convention team. And then some brothers were assigned to the guest ministers to iron their clothes, run errands for them. Some people were in the choir, some people were in the technical, some people were in this and that. And two things happened. The brother that was assigned to the guest ministers, one of the guest ministers gave him some money. Andawan gave him money. And then he came that afternoon and said, "Daddy, they gave me this money and all that. I want to pay the tithe." I said, "You're a thief. Take the money that I was giving you and go and drop it in the offering. Not the tithe. That money is not your own." Huh? The brother did like this and did like this and did like this and did like this. Today he is not anywhere serious in life and in Christianity. There was a brother there, the younger brother of one of my pastors. And that young man is working with Shell Company today. He came to me and said, "Excuse me, sir. That statement touched me. Because I didn't know. I myself would have taken the money." I said, "Let me tell you the principle behind it. Now, the women that were cooking, some of them took some food and gave their children, little children. I said, return it. Some of them want to eat. I said, go and buy food." What's the principle behind it? You are given an assignment. The people in the choir and the people in the technical, the ushers, all of you are given assignment. You are distributed to different, that's a department. That your own department involve food does not give you right to eat the food. Should the choir member now say, "We too, we have been singing, we need some food"? Now, some of you women, you cook normally for social occasions. Church. Stop it. It's a negative spirit. How many of you understand what I'm saying? The prayer band member, nobody saw them. Because they assigned you to ministers and you are running, that does not mean that is what you normally do. A man that has a sense of generosity will want to give you something. But that same guest minister did not consider that the prayer band member that were praying when he was preaching, they did more to his ministry than the person that ironed his clothes. He never thought of giving them money. So the money you are given is not a personal gift. It is an official gift. Put it in the church pool. The food, if you are hungry, don't touch it. That is character. That young man say, he prostrated, say, "Thank you, sir." The other boy that they were given the money to took offense. He has not recovered from it today. He will steal in his company one day. He will use his position to amass wealth one day. And he will be caught. Okay, does he understand? Are you listening to me? Now you are all quiet. How many of you does he surprise? Like he surprised that young brother. Let me see your hand up. I mean, like that brother said, if I didn't know, he would have taken the money himself. Let me see your hand up. Supposing you go on evangelism and you finish preaching. I say, I was so blessed. Take this money. What should you do? Return it back to church. You may not have known it before now, but today you have known the truth. Bring it back. And if you do that, the pastor knows this is a leadership material in the making. You can as well take the money and keep quiet. You have kept a secret with the devil. Do you know that the devil knew who he was going to get to betray Jesus? As much as Jesus was rebuking Peter, it never crossed the mind of the devil to seduce Peter. Why was it that the devil was sure he was going to get Judas? Because John said that Judas had been dipping his hand in the church fund. So he knew he was going to get him. Today, nobody wants to name their child Judas. But you can name your child Peter. Some of you are even bearing Peter. Are you following what I'm saying? Why, when you were young, why did your mother insist if somebody gave you money or gave you food, before you eat, wait until I come? How many of you did your mother give you that kind of instruction? Because there are things that you didn't know. What's different from what your mother told you and what I've just told you? Why didn't you feel that food you want offer? Your mother may know something about that person that may not want you to eat the food. Pastor Debo of Redeemed Church shared the testimony of a woman in his home village, and that his mother told him, no matter how hungry you are, if anybody give you food, wait until I come back before you eat it. And that this woman made red porridge one day and gave him the porridge. But the law of the mother kept him. He was very hungry, but he kept the food. And when the mother came, he said, so and so gave me food, porridge. The mother said, eh? Have you eaten it? He said, no. Are you sure? Are you sure? He said, no. I've not eaten. You said I should not eat until I let you know. He said, sure? He said, no, man. He said, okay. Where's the food? Leave it there. They left it overnight. The following day, the red porridge was as black as the blackest charcoal inside and out. There was something about that woman that the mother knew. And the mother knew, this is a rising star. The woman knew too. She wanted to cut him down. He said it with his own mouth. It was the law of his mother that preserved him, not the gift of the Spirit. He could have died eating red porridge. Come from school very hungry. Now you can see what he has grown up to become in the ministry and in life now. That same discipline that made him, while he was hungry, not to eat that food until his mother came, is what keeps him fasting for the anointing to come on him. There are many people today that when they become adults, they wonder, why don't they have discipline? Some people have gone for prayer and gone for all kinds of things. But the indiscipline that is destroying their destiny is a result of lack of response to laws and commands and words that were given them as they were growing up. That's why I say church is like a rehabilitation. The last bus stop. If anybody miss it in life, he will be carrying pain. If a person miss the discipline of church, he will be carrying pain. He will be carrying wounds here and there in life. And there's nothing as painful as to see an adult that is carrying pain. Are you listening to me? Praise God. Let's go back to our passage. We have not finished. He said, and my law is the apple of thy eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom. Don't romance a girl. Enter into an affair with wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying? Enter into a relationship with understanding. That's what he's saying. Now look at what he's saying. Why? That they may keep you from the strange woman. From the stranger which flattereth with her words. Do you know one thing about young men? Young men are easily flattered. That's one mark of a young man. All it takes is for somebody smart, a girl that is smart or somebody that is smart, to drop one or two words and your head swell. And you do things that you didn't plan to do. As at the age of a young man. And you must know the peculiarities of every age. Men are moved by what they see. Women are moved by what they hear. So men should be careful what they look at. That's why women that are very smart, they dress seductively, because they know men are moved by what they see. She doesn't come to talk. She just shows man something. And men that are very wise know how to talk to women, because women are moved by what they hear. And then you need to know the peculiarities of age. When you are growing old, when you are a young man, flattery can move you. He said, this woman, the strange woman flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. That's a type of a young man. And I want to ask you this question. What kind of a young man are you? Are you one that is full of understanding or void of understanding? Now notice, this young man is the one that didn't take the counsel he gave in verse 5. See unto wisdom, you are my sister. See unto understanding, you are my kinswoman. Because if he had said that, he would not be void of understanding. Can you get what I'm saying? But now he found himself as a young man void of understanding, and he made stupid choices. I want you to take note of something. Great people make the important decisions of life early. Write it down. Great people make the important decisions of life early in their life. That's the first thing they do. Number two, they spend the rest of their life managing those decisions. I said to you, I'm not just going to preach to you, I want to give you a plan. So as I'm preaching, you must be getting some practical dimensions. Ask yourself another question. First question I said you ask yourself is, do I have words, commandments, laws that I'm keeping? Do I have any? Either from a pastor, from a father or mother, or from a teacher or somebody that loves me. I'm not talking about your friend can't give you laws or commandments or something. No, I'm not talking about that. When I was younger in the ministry, I was not married that time. We went to do a crusade in a village on the way to Ondo. That village is called Ayearode. Does anybody know the village? Yeah, Ayearode. There was an elderly man there, an old man in the Apostolic Church. He's been born again long ago. I've been walking with God, had a call. In that village, we saw a crippled woman walk. The power of God moved and all that. And one evening, I stayed back to do follow up. The man sat down to talk with me. And he said, he wants to give me a word from the Lord. And he began to speak to me. He said, do you know that in his own generation, he was not the only one that was called? See, there are many of them that had the calling of God. See, but today, most of them are falling by the wayside. And he said to me, by the word of the Lord, he said, God showed him, say, that a great sword has been given to you. If you can keep yourself from women, you will make it. He said, all my colleagues, is women that brought them down. Are you following what I'm saying? He's not educated, but he knows God. And then she had some few things, and I said, thank you. I left the village. But I never forgot that man's word. And down through the years, I can think of how many bright rising stars that women have brought down. Do you have some words that have been given you that you treasure? That's the first question I said you ask yourself. The second question is this: are there any decisions that you have made or you are supposed to make now at this period of your life that you will manage until you reach old age? One of the wealthiest men in America said his father taught him, and he made a decision right from age 6, that from any amount of money he earns, he will save a percentage. He's a Christian. He's one of the wealthiest men in the world. From age 6, he said, no amount of money. Are you following what I'm saying? And then he said another thing that touched me. He said he made a decision to keep his words. And the decision is so strong that when he makes a promise to somebody, he phones his lawyer to include that promise in his will. That even after he dies, he will still keep his promises. Those are decisions. He made them when he was young. And he manages them. through life? That's the second question I want to ask yourself. You can become like every other young man that flattery moves, that are void of understanding. You see, if you do certain things that young men do, people will understand. But when you do something that young men don't do, people will notice. People will start noticing you and taking note of you. When a young man misbehaves, for example, you see a young man just come, three girls come to visit him. Everybody in his family understand. They don't notice him. But there's one that no girl has ever come to visit. After the father says, is there any problem? Are you what I'm saying? Uncles we call, mommy we call. People we ask questions. And these are the questions I want to write down. I don't want you to just get carried away with the teaching. Do you understand me? Do you have some decisions that you are supposed to make? Now, maybe a decision that these are things I will never do. For example, as a young man, I made a decision. I said to God, when I was knew the call of God upon my life, I said, I'm never going to cause any of your daughters to fall. Another decision I made to God was this: Lord, I'm going to get engaged only once, and I'm going to marry the person. And you can never find anybody today, dead or alive, that can tell you that I proposed marriage to her, except mommy. It was just a decision. We had 6 years of courtship, and we are married today. Now, of course, I've listened to strange doctrines that say, well, during your courtship years, you find out whether you are compatible. Those are men that were not trained by the Holy Ghost for the calling. They learned ministry from men, and they will lead you into danger. You know what I'm saying? Because right from the word go, he had told you can fail in your courtship. We were trained to wait upon the Lord. God is still giving people life partners. I've had ministers say God doesn't give people life partner again. That is an American version of error, not the Bible. Everyone from Genesis to Revelation that succeeded in life and ministry, God supervised their marriage. But when you begin to read American culture, to base your Bible or your Christian practice on, you will get involved in what is called in theology, syncretism. Are you listening to me? You can have your way, but the devil will have his say later. Right now, when you have your way over the Holy Spirit, the devil will have his say later in your life. Write it down in capital letters. Do you understand? When you have your way over the Holy Spirit in your life, the devil will also have his say in your life somewhere. So I've asked you two questions now. So you should begin to look. Some of you, those words came, but you never took them serious. Do you understand me? When that man told me and said, woman brought all his colleagues down, I took note of it. There are some words that will come, there are decisions that you must make. I told you sometime, if those of you that you are to Shubu in teaching, that two things bring changes to the lives of people: accidents and decisions. Don't let the percentage changes that take place in your life be higher in the accident dimension. What are the decisions that you have to take now? I'm going to save. I'm going to finish anything I start. I'm going to live in such a way that I'll not be ashamed of myself. Right from long ago, I made the decision on my relationship with anybody. I will never relate with a man in such a way that I will meet that man and drop my eyes. I'll never do anything that will make me to see a fellow human being and I'll drop my eyes in shame or fear. Never. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, those are personal decisions that guide my life. There's nowhere, nothing, no issue, nothing, nothing, nothing. If we bring the case before God, I can state my side of the story. Clearly. Are you following what I'm saying? Even unbelievers that are working for me, for the ministry or for me personally, on building site. One day some carpenters did some work for me in my house. They didn't do the doors very well. I said, I'll ask you one question. If you are the one that has this job and somebody did it for you like this, will you take it? They said, no. How much is your bill? I gave them their full bill. I said, you can go. That when God punishes you, you won't say, I didn't pay you the full bill. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, that's the second thing I want to take note of. What decisions are guiding your life? Most young men don't have decisions. They don't even know they need to begin to develop in that area. They live their life in such a way, no, it doesn't matter. Just enjoying and things like that. Now, that you are something today does not mean you'll be that thing tomorrow. The power of your decisions is more important than the power of your head. I will tell you what you need in life. Praise God. But let's finish this young man's story. This is a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, near the corner of this strange woman's house. And he went the way to her house. The first error is that he passed through the street near her house. The second one is that he went to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, the black and dark night. What do you do in the night? When other young men that are serious, they are drinking all night. This young man was visiting a prostitute. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. I would like you to underline that phrase, attire of an harlot. Anytime you hear people say, God doesn't talk about dressing, they are not reading the Bible. The Bible is very clear here that there is the attire of a harlot. When I talk to girls and young sisters, I ask them, what attire are you wearing? Do you know that dress depicts profession, status, and all that? Am I correct? When you go to the hospital, nobody needs to tell you who the doctors are. Am I correct? Health technology students that are male don't wear this gown. Don't put stethoscope on their neck. You see the nurse by the uniform they are wearing. And you see the prostitute by the uniform they are wearing. It amazes me when we see Christian sisters that are wearing uniform of prostitutes. And nobody tells them. There are pastors in front of them that tells them that it doesn't matter. I said, bro, when God called me, I knew it was God that called me. I knew he called me to a holy work. You understand? How many of you have gone to buy beans in the market before that they sell in bowls? Have you checked what some of those people do? If you don't check, some of them put two bowls together. Am I correct? To reduce the quantity of beans you are buying. Some of them, they put some things, what, 10D? Are you following me? I told them in the all night, pastors and leaders, I said, Emma Koshe Ranche, Lord Antoti Terministry Indio. Some people we do all night 3 hours. I say, some of you are supposed to pray 30 minutes, but you're 5 minutes. Cool, no, I will pray 25. Ayolelo Joaju. Madinku. Madinku. You are not cheating anybody but yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't. And there are ministers that they are using a different standard. Bible says, just weight is a delight to God. A false weight is abomination to you. You know what the weights are? When you go to buy meat in a meat shop, I don't know if they still do those things today. When you say you want 1 kilo, the man will take a stone. Am I correct? This metal something. They write 1 kilo on it. Am I correct? And then he cut the meat. Phew. Put it on this thing. The thing just lift it like that. And then it begins to put the stones. When it is 1 kg here, the thing will balance like that. Am I correct? You know what those crooked businessmen will do? They will file the weight. shave it, shave it, shave it, shave it, shave it. So finely, you wouldn't know they have shaved it. So the stone itself is less than 1 kg. So when your meat is balancing, it's giving you meat that is less than 1 kg. God says, an abomination on my side. For those of us in the ministry, if I'm going to produce young men, Charles, come. One day we're going to stand before Jesus and give an account. If God called this young man to be an evangelist, I have had people come to Life Oasis that tell me they have been pastors in Pentecostal churches. In fact, the church they were coming from, they were ordained pastors. And looking at their level of life, they have not been able to measure up to the life level of a member in Life Oasis. And I ask myself, who made you a pastor? Because if WAEC, which covers English-speaking countries in West Africa, sets, if you went to secondary school in Ghana, you can sit for English WAEC in Nigeria. It wouldn't be different. So if God wants him to be an evangelist and I train him, he should not be inferior to an evangelist trained in Olaribos University. But what do we have? The weights have been shaved. So by the time they call him an evangelist, is an inferior weight they have used to measure him. So when he meets somebody that is an evangelist, that has been produced by the correct balance, the gap is there. To anoint a king among his sons, he brought out of 8 sons only 1 qualified. And I ask myself, what if this is the work of those of us that we are pastors? Out of all these young men that are here, how many can God pick here for kings in the kingdom? Some of you, and what pastor ta so fun yin po brin to wo jump abai. Wa okay, won po ngboro won ti tese iranse ndi pe bi oni ko yin niyan should ye. I think people, some of the guests that have left here, they've gone overseas, they phone me and say, Daddy, thank you for telling us the truth. We see women wearing trousers here. We understand because you have told us the truth about what is a man's dress, what is a woman's dress. Trouser is not a woman's dress. And the teaching must balance. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. And trouser is not necessarily a man's dress. Do you understand what I'm saying? So some people try to put some different problems here. Do you see when Eagles came to play Angola in Kano? Some hours before that, Okocha was in the saloon taking care of his hair. Some of those other players, they had girlfriends overnight. Those people came to play. Where do they think that their name will scare them? It is in the olden days that you win football matches on reputation. Now you don't. And you don't win in life on reputation. Is on current form. What's your current form? Kije po kan wa church lasan. You see, listen to this. In Proverbs 16, look at what the Bible says there. Verse 16, Proverbs 16, 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. You know what I put on top of my Bible in that passage? Read it for them.
The highest man,
the wisest.
The wisest man was also the richest. He used
the wisest God.
Okay, the wisest God is also the richest.
It is the foolishness of this world that we're living in to think that money will equate wisdom. The wisest man, Solomon, in his day, was also the richest. He said, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. You know why? Gold will never get you wisdom, but wisdom will get you gold.
There are people that have left wisdom to chase gold. Yes, you will get the money, but the emptiness of your soul will show up later in life. You know what I showed people? Can I have three brothers? Come, three of you, join, two of you joining me. Now, let us talk of this brother here. God has a plan for him to stand here physically. Look at where he's standing, this place that he's standing. Let us say this place that he's standing is to be the vice chancellor of a university. And God will use him to affect the educational system. That's the physical place that destiny has assigned for him. In order for him to stand there, he must stand in a spiritual position to sustain that place. Are you listening to me? The reason is this. If he doesn't stand there, the devil has a demonic position occupied by some people. Occupied by some people. Counterpart. So if he gets here and he doesn't stand here, any of these ones can knock him from this place. Like I told you, the person occupying the demonic position can be a house girl. Toje Mary. Don't you know how many wealthy people today that don't know what is tossing them like football around? Is the house girl. They go to church. But when they go to church, they service their ego. Instead of taking them through divine training. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, when I registered the first set of Bible school students, there was one Olori that came. And she told me and said, she meets with very important people. She plays golf with the deputy governor, this church, this man of God. They have ordained her. And then I said, no problem. Did God tell you to come? She said, yes. Okay. You attend lectures. And after some time, she told mommy and said that then she wants mommy to talk to me. That she feels she understands, she knows all these things. That I should give her the certificate. I said, madam, you don't know who you are talking to. You want me to graduate you without going through the course? You will find pastors like that. One of them is the one that has ordained you. I'm not like that. The devil that you are going to face is not half devil. He's a whole devil. They can give you half training, but you are going to meet a whole devil. So if you are not going to go through the training, you can withdraw now. But I can't sign the certificate that you graduated without me teaching you, training you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We have that in the society today. Even in the body of Christ, men that have not gone through any kingdom process of training, that we are making something. That's why you can have somebody come to church who is a pastor and can't keep up with the demand of being a member of a church. There's none of you here that if you follow the training program that we are giving to you, anywhere you go to, that you cannot, with the level that the body of Christ is today, that you cannot enter into leadership. Are you following what I'm saying? If you go through the training, if you receive everything that you're giving, you'll be a leader anywhere else you go to. Some of my pastors are telling, if you want to leave this ministry, you are free. In fact, if you leave this ministry today, you can become some area senior pastors in many places. But that will not change my standard. Because it's the devil that shows our level. It's not God. God is our father. He doesn't test us. It's the devil that is the examiner. Write it down. No forgetting. When he brings sickness, he doesn't say, oh, you have not gone through lectures enough in school. Let this sickness be easy. No, 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 no. When you marry, what are you going to bring to the table of your marriage? You are the head. What vision, what gifts are operating in your life? Is it your wife that is going to be receiving prophecy that will direct your home? Or you? Don't be a businessman at the expense of being a spiritual man. Many people think that God doesn't want to have physical places. No, God's plan is to raise Christians to the highest physical positions in life. Daniel was a president, but he was a prophet. Joseph was a prime minister, but he had the gift of interpretation of dreams to sustain his position. Esther was a beautiful queen, but she had the spiritual life to stand there. So as you are seeking to climb, don't jeopardize your spiritual development, because when the jungle matures, it is your spiritual life that will sustain your physical possessions and physical life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Praise God. So you say, how better is it to get wisdom than gold? And wisdom can only be obtained from God. What I'm sharing with you today is wisdom, is not gold. It will bring gold later. Amen. The power and the ability to make right judgments, right decisions in life, you can't buy it with money. I follow. I'm saying, when we went to Adoekiti years ago for Adoekiti Special Healing Service, I met a man there. This man was a large-scale farmer. Met him, was in the Full Gospel Business Fellowship there and everything. And his farm was such, he carried such an anointing in farming, that when Aikomu was the vice president, whatever, at that time, he came to that state and visited his farm. Had experiences, and suddenly he made a decision to go into starch production. And there was a government edict that they should not import those things. And he had invested all his money. From hero, he became zero in one weekend. From a millionaire, became completely in debt. Just one single decision. Until date, he has not recovered. He had to sell all his houses and leave town. Why? The ability to make right decisions is a function of a developed spirit man. It's not a function of connection with right people who are in politics. Look at what this lady did for the young man. Just jump to verse 21. With her much fierce speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of his stocks. You can go back to your seat if you want to make notes, okay? I'll call you later if I need you. Till a dart strike through his liver, that's disease, as a bird hasted to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many weak men have been slain by her. Is that correct? Many what? Many. You know, I tell pastors in school of ministry, I say, listen. Listen very well. Better men than us are falling. Be careful. Better men than us have missed it. Be very careful. Did you hear what I'm saying? Don't walk shuba shuba where angels are afraid to tread. Did you hear me? Take heed. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's one kind of a young man. What kind of a young man are you going to be? Young man. Young man. Proverbs 8:17. Let me tell you the other kind of young man you can be. Proverbs 8. Are you there? Let's read it from verse 1. We've seen one kind of young man void of understanding, chasing after ephemeral things, chasing after women of easy virtue. His sense of value and decision is warped. Verse 1, does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places. By the way, in the places of the path, she cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. You know what this place is saying to you? It's saying wisdom is everywhere. Sometimes you can look at something and learn some things. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hmm. I was talking to Maureen. I said, you know, over the years, I've watched young men that are training for ministry, that I've trained over the years. Some, I've seen those that rose very high. Pastor Banso has ministered there just now. He's gone to preach at the church in town and all that. And I've seen some that were reducing the training. Pray 3 hours. He prays 2 hours and round off. I said, it will show later. It will show. Don't reduce it. You won't be young twice. You can only be young once. One day, a pastor came to see me. He's a pastor in Foursquare. He was one of the people that passed through this ministry when he was a student at Oscars. And he's one of their senior pastors today in Foursquare. And said, there's a cassette that he had me preach. And that cassette is still there. I preached it in the 80s. The voice may not be as strong as before, but and the topic is, don't waste your youth, invest it. It was a message he had me preach years ago. And kept the cassette, listened to it over and over. He's married now and all that. You understand? Now I'm just praying that something is going to happen to one or two of you inside. You're going to make some decision and leave this place with decision, not with excitement. Or with decision. You see, the devil is never afraid of your desires. He's afraid of your decisions. Anybody can have desire. Whereas a man with decisions that the devil is afraid of, because he knows he's the one that is going to make changes in his life. He's the one that is going to get somewhere. Do you get what I'm saying? I pastored people that had a good job and they won't listen to the word of God. And when that job went, you see, panic gripped their heart. They valued gold more than wisdom. Write this in your cap, in your decision-making book, or as one of the decisions you must make. Never in your life promote money above wisdom. Never in your life. Don't ever do it. It's the secret of destruction. In fact, one of the ways devil seduce people. Learn to promote wisdom above money. Let me ask you one question. How many of you know this is one of the reasons why we're as a nation, Nigeria is in trouble? How many of you know that? We have glorified mediocrity at the expense of wisdom. You know, every time when I look at Nigeria and I say there are certain things that is in this country that won't let this country grow. One of it is federal character. Federal character is an enemy of excellence. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's no nation that enters into its destiny having that kind of a stupid thing. It is affecting the super egos. After some time, you see people who say, why is it only people from one tribe that are playing football for the super egos? We must have federal character. Whether they can play or not, you must put at least to reflect federal character. You know why this nation is not going to go far if God does not intervene? Now, I'm not talking about Nigeria. I'm not a politician. I'm talking to you. Did you get what I'm saying? Unless there's a collective decision to enthrone excellence, Nigeria is not going to go far. Now, as a person yourself, you must make a decision. Listen, I will promote wisdom above gold. You're coming here, whether by force or by choice, is a testimony that you are promoting wisdom above gold. You could be somewhere looking for money now. The difference will soon be clear in your decisions, in the sensitivity in your spirit, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is moving in your life. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, let's go on. Verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. You see the cry of God. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. You know, when you say the word of God is confusing you, you haven't found knowledge. The Bible says that to the man that find knowledge, the word of God is right. Are you listening to me? I asked some sisters during the Daughter of Destiny meeting. I said, let me ask you one question. Can you tell me whether it's the Holy Spirit that led you to buy this blouse you are wearing? That shows 2/3 of your breast and shows your belly button. What will make a daughter of God to get to a fashion or a tailor shop and say, this is the dress I want to sew for me? It can't be the Holy Ghost. Eh, well, I don't understand. You have not found knowledge. When you have found knowledge, that teaching will be right to you. That's what the Bible says. When you now see a pastor that is justifying that pastor has not found knowledge, if you stay in his church, he will kill you. Now look at what the Bible says here. Receive my instruction and not silver. Does God say you should be poor? And knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Can you see that? A car, a house, a job. You see, it cannot be compared to wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Look at verse 17, that's where I'm going. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. This second kind of young man, the word early there is early in life. Those that seek me, wisdom, early in their life, they will find me. This second kind, the first kind of young man, we saw what he's seeking. Pleasure and enjoyment. This second young man is seeking wisdom. And God gives you a covenant promise. If you seek wisdom as a young man, you will find it. If you begin to pursue wisdom now, your old age will be easier and more pleasant. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches, not flying riches. Durable, the one that lasts. And righteousness. My fruit, that's my profit, is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness. In the midst of the paths of judgment. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. You see that? Because many people think that if you pursue the things of God, you will suffer. No, you see, don't be deceived. I want to borrow you some wisdom. I have pastored people that pay tithes in tens of thousands. And I pastored the same set of people when they didn't have cover to pay tithe. So I am not impressed when a man is chasing things and not chasing God. I've seen the futility of that road. I have friends that are falling like that. I have family members that have suffered like that. I pastored church members. So when I'm talking to you, pursue God. Here you see Solomon, the wisest and the richest. He said there is riches that is durable. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Look at that. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting from the beginning, even or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought up. has brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the seas decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delight were with the sons of men. You know, there's something about wisdom. Wisdom is attracted to men. Wisdom is pictured as a person here. And he has no affinity to animals. It's to men. So if you open to wisdom, he will come in your house. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, the ways of wisdom. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily, not once a week, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. You know the guy that says, I won't come to church, I'm drinking beer at that time. He loves death. When liver cirrhosis kill him, he says he's his mother's enemy. No, he hated wisdom. Love wisdom. Embrace wisdom. Praise God. Let me now give you the points I want to share with you quickly. You've seen the two kinds of young men. The one that is voice of understanding, the one that is seeking wisdom early. The one that is making investment in wisdom. Did you hear what I'm saying? Now you make a decision. When I was at your age, I made a decision in school. And I said, while others are buying many things, I invested the bulk of my money in buying cassettes, messages on tape, listening, and soaking my spirit with the wisdom of God. With the wisdom of God. With the word of God. Invest in things that will make me to know God. That will make me to understand the voice of God. That will make me to understand the leading of the Holy Spirit. I've not regretted it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You spend money on things. A lot of young men around me, I try to impart wisdom to them. Some I ask them, do you have a savings account? Are you saving money? You know what most people tell me? I don't have money. No. See, the money is not enough. It's not because the money is not enough, that's why you are not saving. The reason why you are not saving is that you are indisciplined. It takes discipline to save, not plenty of money. You understand what I'm saying? Right now, don't forget that. It's not plenty of money that it takes to save. If you have plenty of money, I don't have the discipline to save, you will still spend it. Some are buying shares in companies. And I told some people, I said, let me tell you something. It's good to buy shares in companies. But you know what I want to do? Over and above that, buy shares in tomorrow. Did you hear what I'm saying? How many of you know that when you have enough shares in the company, they make you a director? You can determine the company's affairs. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Buy share in tomorrow. By what you are doing today. Make some decisions today that is purchasing shares for you in tomorrow. So that when we get to tomorrow, why some people are employees, you are a managing director in tomorrow. Why some people are struggling, you are smiling. Because you are buying shares in tomorrow by the things that you are investing in. Do you understand? Saving, doing things, making choices. You understand? I saw a young man, all he's doing is buying electronics. Put a Walkman on his head. Like Solomon said, a young man void of understanding. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Praise God. You know, at the level you are now, if you didn't wear good clothes, nobody will notice you except stupid girls. Do you hear what I'm saying? But some of you, you want to impress a girl that will marry you. Because the man do me, get him a plan at the fair. Praise God. But when you become something, you don't need to worry. Amen. So write this point down. Great people make the important decisions early in life, and then they spend the rest of their lives to manage those decisions. What are some of the decisions you are going to make early in life? Number one, have I discovered God's purpose for me? Write it down. That's your number one decision as a young man. What's my purpose for being on the earth? Number two, am I willing to pursue this purpose of God? Number three, who will I marry? That is, who is my partner for this destiny that God has marked out for me? I must not be careless about it. I pray that the devil will not force a partner on you. You know what I mean? If you are careless, you sleep around, you impregnate a girl somewhere, and then devil has forced a partner on you. You know, when people make that mistake, they don't understand what the devil has done for them. He forced a partner on you for a journey that God marked out for you. Don't let the devil do that. Number three, what will I do for a living? Number four, where will I live for destiny? Where am I going to live? Number five, which is not the least, is one of the most important. Who will coach me for life and destiny? Who is going to coach me for life and destiny? Now, let me tell you some of the things that young men have. All of these things, the devil can take it, hijack it, and use it negatively. Number one, young men have energy. It's serious. Isaiah 40 says, a young man, his glory is in his strength. For even the young men shall fall and be utterly weary. Number two, young men are adventurous. They are ready to travel. When we were in school, I don't know if it still happens today. In those days, you see Pan Wine Drinkers Club. When they are doing their kegites day, some will come from Calabar, from Maiduguri, charter buses, to come to Ife, to go to Yola for their kegites day. Traveling, adventure, young men. They are ready to do things, adventure, inquisitive. And devil can give you subject to it, to inquire. God wants that nature. The advantage that the white, the American culture has, that a lot of their young men and women in church, their adventurous nature, they have turned it to mission field. What stops all of you here from catching visions to go to villages around, preaching the gospel? Let's go and chase some demons away from Ilobu, from different places. Number three, young men are creative. They can be creative in evil. When we were in secondary school in those days, you see some young men, creativity. You understand me? Here's a young man. And I never knew until some of them were punished. And he puts a mirror in his sandal. Like that. All right? And then he stands in front of a female teacher. And he's looking into the mirror until he gets a dirty slap. How did he ever think of doing that? That's the creativity of young men. But who is supervising that creativity? The devil. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God wants to supervise your creativity. He wants to give you the subject for you to be creative over. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Young men are ready to try anything new. It's part of what young men have. That old men are set in their ways. Eh, we have tried it and all that. No. Young men want to adventure. They are creative. Number four, they are willing to try new things. Number five, they are ready to sacrifice for what they believe in. Have you ever watched Nance, Nigerian National Student?